first Christmas, that first moment when your light broke into the darkness. We thank you for the story that reminds us of great hope. We thank you for the story that speaks of your great love. We thank you for the story that reminds us that you are a God who is not far off, but you are the God who intervenes in a personal, intimate way. Amen. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men may believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John starts his gospel of, his account of the life of Jesus, not with the birth narrative, not of that story, but he reminds us with that echo of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, where Genesis in the beginning says, in the beginning, God. John starts with, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Christ. Christ has always been. He hasn't come into existence at the birth in this world. Christ has always been part of the Trinity. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word, and this Word was with God, and it was God. And John's pointing out to us in his story that in the same way that the first thing that God does, he says, let there be light. Let there be revelation. Let the darkness be made full of something new. In the same way, Christ, when he comes into the world, is the recreation. This story of the Bible is about how we find a new birth, a new creation, how the things, the chaos of this world, Jesus brings back into order through Christ. This recreation begins in you and it begins in me through experiencing who Jesus is, that through the Word, when spoken, puts light into us, and that light becomes the life of man. John's gospel is all about life. If you read it through, you'll find that he's always about wanting you to experience fullness of life. And we talked a few weeks ago about how the different traditions of the Eastern tradition and the Western tradition, and how for us in the Christian story, the Western tradition is all about how can you be good as opposed to being evil? How can you be made righteous as opposed to being a sinner? In the Eastern tradition, it's a much more about what can you do that brings life as opposed to what brings death? What can you do that is something that's going to bring light into your life as opposed to the things that are bringing darkness? And in John's gospel, he's all about life. And in John 10:10, he says, the thief, talking about the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to bring life, and life in its fullness. And when you read John's story, there are four key things that you need for life that he taps into. You need light. Light's really important for life. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You need air, you need oxygen. And Jesus says, I am. He breathes life into us. He is the breath of life. We need water. Jesus says, I am the living water. I am the water of life. We need food. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the thing that you need so that your life is full, so that you are living in life, not living in the darkness of sin and death. We've been talking over these last few weeks about how do we redirect the energy that is behind our sin, and how do we direct it into something that it brings life to us, rather than letting the things in our life lead us into a pathway of death, but lead us into a pathway of life. How do the sins in our life, how do they manifest, and how can they be seen in a different light? And so, got this up on the screen again. We talked about this over the last few weeks, about how behind different sins is an energy, is something behind it which you are longing for. And you can either let that be chaotic and undirected, which leads us down a path of sin, or if we redirect that energy, it directs it into somewhere where it can be useful, where it can be wholesome, where it brings life, where it brings light, which is something which is ultimately honouring to God and the community. We talk about how sin breaks us off from community, and when you redirect your energy into community, how then suddenly the energy behind sin, when redirected into the life of the community and before God, suddenly becomes something that brings life and wholeness. I'm not going to unpack that all again now, but you need to look back the last 2 weeks to hear more about that. But I want you to think about this. How do you make a room darker? How do you make a room darker? Any ideas? Turn the lights off, exactly. You see, darkness isn't a thing. Darkness is the absence of light. To make something darker, you remove light. You can't have light and then increase the darkness. You can only decrease the light. And in our lives, when we're thinking about the energy behind sin, we've been talking about all things we've been talking about in these last few weeks, it's so easy to think about, as we've talked about, how just saying stop doing sinful things isn't very helpful. We talked about how it's like saying to a sick person, get better. And the illustration this morning, using from John's Gospel, is about light. Is that when we sin, it's like we're decreasing the light in our life. We're living more in the shadows. And just saying, stop being dark, isn't enough. Or, don't be as dark as you're being, isn't enough. What you need to say is, you need more light in your life. And so the answer, in part, to dealing with the sin in our life, the selfishness in our life, the things in life that don't bring life, isn't to try and stop doing things that aren't helpful, it's to do things that are helpful. It's not to try and stop being dark, it's to try and be more light. The more light there is, the less darkness there is. So often we spend our whole time trying to be better human beings by trying to not do those things, and rather than not trying to do those things, the Bible says Jesus is the light. And how does light work? You add more light to get rid of darkness. You don't just say, have less darkness, because darkness isn't a thing. And so the story of the gospel is this whole thing about saying, when you invite Jesus into your life, what you're saying is, I want that light to shine into the dark corners of my life. And I want light in all those areas where I'm prone to darkness. I need more light in my life. And so the answer isn't saying, stop doing X, Y, and Z. It's saying, do these things which bring life and light. And those things will illuminate the darkness. These things will illuminate the darkness. This is why Jesus' pattern of life, where he spends time with the Father, where he spends time reading the Word, where he spends time in prayer, where he spends time in worship, where he spends time gathering together, these things to him fill him afresh with the light of God so that he can see, so that he knows where he's going. And I've said before, the light of God in our life, it not only shows us the way, but it shows us what's in the way. It illuminates what's in the way in our life. Only when we have more of the light of God in our lives can we see where the darkness has been a problem. And we can then shine more of the light into that situation. not just have less darkness, it's have more light. Fill your life with the light of God. And then more than that, Jesus says, you are now the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Don't keep that light hidden. Because you are now the answer to the darkness of the world around you. The more you let the light of God shine in all the dark corners of our life, the more transformed we become, because we're letting the Word of God, Jesus Christ, speak new life into us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the light of man to bring life to us. When we let the light of God into our lives, we're letting the new creation of God come into our lives and take the darkness of sin and allow it to be the life force in the community. So when we look at this, when we look it up here, and I won't explain it all again because I've done it the last 2 weeks, but so if you're struggling with pride, look at how you can empower other people. Spend more time looking at how you can empower people, and that is spending more time in the light, which pushes away the darkness. If you're struggling with gluttony, we've talked about how that sort of works and it's a bit complicated, but spend time looking at how you can order things, how you can work out what's beneficial to things, and that will help stave off the darkness. It's not, don't do that, do this instead. It's saying, when you do this, that naturally falls away. It kind of goes back to what Steve shared with us a few months back, which I think has been so helpful, the idea of the averages. So if you want to change the average, you've got to be better than the average. And so it's not a case of saying, you want more kindness in your life, therefore stop being mean. Stop being mean isn't the answer. It's be more kind. You see, it's not do less of that, it's do more of this. And the more of that you do, the more light that shines in our lives, the less of the darkness there is. The natural consequence of letting light flood our lives is that sin decreases. And we can beat ourselves up about spending so much energy and time trying to not be something. When the Bible says, don't put your energy into trying not to be something, spend your time trying to be something. Be who you've been made to be. All of these things up here are saying, the areas that we're prone to sin are the areas where God's given you an energy or a power in order to be able to do something incredible in the life of community. So actually your light helps break up the darkness in the whole of the community. Not only in the life of the church, but in the world around us. I find it's really life-giving to know that it's not about trying not to be that, it's about trying to be more of this. It's trying to be more passionate in my worship. It's trying to be more empowering in the way I help people. It's trying to be someone who is seeking to work out how to order things better in the life of the community. It's about being someone who is trying to seek to evangelize the world. And when I try and do more of these things, there's more light, and so the darkness decreases. And what Jesus tells us is this. You are now the light of the world. Matthew 5. Who would light a lamp and hide it under a bowl? You wouldn't. You put it on a stand in the middle of the room so that light shines in every part of it. And so our life comes from letting God's light not be hidden away, but let it shine out of us. So the natural overflow into the world around us is light. So the more you work on living in the light of God, the more you work on being the best you can be by redirecting your energy into the best flow so that it brings life to you, it means you will shine more brightly in the world around you. If you struggle sharing your faith, the simplest thing is just to become more you. Because then the light of Jesus will naturally flow out of you. But Jesus says, who takes the light and will put it under a bowl? Because when you hide it away, we extinguish the light and darkness floods our lives. So it's not to hide it away, it's to share it, it's to let it shine out. If we hide it away, we extinguish that flame. So if you want to have a life which is more bright in the darkness of the world around you, look at where you struggle with sin and look at how you can redirect that so that the energy behind it becomes life-giving to you and those around you, and you will naturally shine brighter for Jesus. It's not about trying to have less darkness. It's about having more light. It's not trying to sin less. It's about trying to live in the fullness of God's life more. We deal with sin by redirecting it into something that gives life. And the great thing is that when we get it wrong, the grace of God is still there to pick us up and help us every day. This is a lifelong journey of trying to become the new creation of Christ. Letting His word in the beginning speak into your life and say, it's a new beginning this morning. This day, the Bible says, His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, it's like God says to you, in the beginning, and it breathes new life into you, and says, today is a new day. Let's live in the light that brings life. God's grace is amazing. He came full of grace to pick us up and dust us off, but also with truth to tell us that the way we live is not how we should live. And He gives us the answer in Christ to help us redirect that energy into something that brings life, not only to you and to me, but to the whole world, and be light in the darkness. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the words of John that remind us that Your light is the life of men, of all humanity. And we pray, Lord God, that You'd help us be people who don't try and get rid of the darkness by trying to be less dark, but by being more light. Not trying to be more kind by being less mean, but by being kinder. Father God, help us be people who shine brightly for You and don't hide our light. Because this world needs You and it needs us to shine Your light brightly into the darkness. Amen.